A reading from Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. These days after Christmas are a little treasure that I forget about. Often, as I think about the calendar, I rediscover them here in this overlooked space on the calendar, a little valley of peace between the high points of Christmas and New Year's. People are so hurried and busy before Christmas, but now we might together experience some real rest and Sabbath. These days of leisure following Christmas are something like the vacation after vacation that people long for at other times of year. So it's a little rude to have Mark's busy little gospel intrude today on our holiday rest. We're still in a food coma, and Mark crashes into us fast enough to cause whiplash. We'll be working our way through this gospel between Christmas and Easter this year, and Mark wastes no time in getting started. This shortest and earliest gospel begins with a quick trumpet fanfare. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. After that, it's off to the races. There's John the Baptist, wilderness, preaching repentance. One more powerful than I is coming. Then Jesus appears, no infant, but a grown man. In swift succession, over five verses, Jesus is baptized, blessed by the Holy Spirit dove, driven into the wilderness, tempted by Satan, and served by angels. John the Baptist's subsequent arrest gets less than a sentence of mention, then Jesus' public ministry has already begun. He declares the fourfold good news of God. Time is fulfilled. Kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the summary of the gospel according to Mark, Jesus in Mark. And by the time you get to the end of this morning's reading, by verse 20, Jesus has already called not one, but two pair of brothers to be the first disciples. It's something like the pilot episode of a TV show, where setting and plot and characters are swiftly set in motion before the storyline unfolds more gradually from week to week. Except Mark's gospel never actually slows down.
All the action happens immediately, which is a favorite word for Mark's writing. Jesus calls Simon and Andrew to fish for people instead, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Same thing with James and John a few steps later. Immediately he called them, and they left father, hired hands, and boat behind. Poor Zebedee's head must spin at how fast this all happens, and he's left there in the boat. The good news of God cannot wait for the holiday slumber to wear off. It begins immediately. Maybe that's because Mark knows that the gospel will not be good news if it takes too long in coming. Because not all of us are stuffed and satisfied these days. In fact, as I cast my imagination into many of our homes over this past week, I wonder if there might be as much pain as comfort in Christmas. In one place, the family gathering has revealed discord rather than harmony. At another address, no place is set at the table for the daughter not spoken to in years. Her absence was felt, though not acknowledged. In another home, sickness comes yet again and lays everyone low. Over here is someone who was alone at Christmas and feels alone for much the rest of the year. There goes a woman to visit her father who doesn't recognize her anymore. Some long to be in love and some wonder about leaving because the love has grown cold. Seniors dread the decay of body and mind or the long cold of January where no one comes by. Single parents wonder whether to call in sick or leave the kids by themselves again on these holiday weeks. Yet the gospel comes for every such person who is God-beloved yet also feeling a little broken, which is to say for you and for me, for all. The good news that cannot wait for Mark is this. God so loves the world that God comes to earth to join life with us. God chooses birth to an unwed teenage mother at the darkest time of the year during mass migration in a barn barely fit for animals. God's crazy love for the world, even at its most broken, led to Jesus born at a time when Herod would slaughter children, when prophets were beheaded, when religious leaders circled the wagons of tradition in fear, and when Rome crucified those who proclaimed the kingdom of God. Despite all this, our faith, our statement of faith in the United Church of Christ says, in Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, God has come to us and shared our common life. This is how fiercely the Creator of the universe loves us. Because of God's birth into human flesh, we're never completely alone, never beyond hope, never as worthless as we might feel sometimes. This good news of God announced by Jesus lands in the midst of this fifth day of Christmas. It interrupts our sugary holiday reverie. Okay, so be it. God's incarnation does not wait for a more comfortable or convenient time. The good news comes to interrupt our desolation or despair and defeatism as well. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near, Jesus says. Repent, or in other words, be of a new mind and believe in the good news. This is a daring invitation for new and renewed discipleship today, just as surely as it came to Simon and Andrew, to James and John. Discipleship might look differently for us, though. Not necessarily the once and for all turning back decision of these first disciples. I hope so, because otherwise there'd be a lot of Zebedees out there wondering who's going to help with the fish in the boat. Rather than being a once-and-done thing, Reverend Eugene Peterson describes discipleship as a long obedience in the same direction. And Maya Angelou has said something similar. She says, I'm working at trying to be a Christian, and that's serious business. It's not something where you think, oh, I got it done. I did it all day, hot diggity. The truth is, all day long you try to do it, try to be it. And then in the evening, if you're honest and have a little courage, you look at yourself and say, I only blew it 86 times. Not bad. I'm trying to be a Christian. This is the path of discipleship we're invited into by Jesus at the beginning of this next season. Each day ahead will bring opportunities for choosing again to follow Jesus in the long obedience of loving God and our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're enlisted into the journey of discipleship with him, offering to all who suffer the impatient good news of peace and rescue and deliverance. When Christ goes by us on the lakeshore in the days ahead, as we are back at the fishing of our everyday lives in the coming days, how will we respond? We're called to share with him in the words and actions of good news that cannot wait any longer. Will we have the faith to respond like those first disciples who hear the call immediately? May it be so.